Today's sermon is from 1 Samuel, chapter 24. And if you don't have a Bible, we have some in the rack back there, because not be putting that up. I'll be reading it to you, though. It's 1 Samuel, chapter 24, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 22. And this has to deal with David sparing Saul's life. So if you'd like to follow along, you can get a Bible and follow along in the Bible as I read to you. And I'd like to let you know that this sermon comes with the seal of approval from Jeff Nicolene, who heard it on Monday. Was that Monday? Yeah. Monday, as we were talking to one of the young people at the bridge and explaining the works of our Lord and Savior and the things that he does. And we also know that we saw a wonderful play last night, and a wonderful playwright, and some wonderful actors. And so our congratulations go out to all those involved in the play, especially Amy, if she's here. Great job fainting. And Grace, we don't care what your dad says, you can come back anytime.
Amen.
They keep packing her lunch and road with a road map, but she keeps finding her way back. So we'd like to have her here. So 1 Samuel chapter 24, it's on page 246 in your ESV. So let's read. When Saul returned from the following of Philistines, he was told, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the wild goat's rock. And he came to the shepherd's fold by the way where there was a cave. And Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were sitting in the innermost parts of the cave. And the men of David said to him, "Here is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will give you enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it shall seem good to you.' Then David arose and steadily cut off a corner of Saul's robe. And afterwards David's heart struck him, because he had cut off a corner of Saul's robe. He said to his men, 'The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed.' So David persuaded his men, and with these words did not permit them to attack Saul. And Saul rose up and left the cave and went on his way. Afterwards, David also arose and went out of the cave and called after Saul, 'My Lord, the king!' And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the earth and paid homage. And David said to Saul, 'Why do you listen to the words of men who say, "Behold, David seeks your harm. Behold, this day your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you today into my hand in the cave. And some told me to kill you, but I spared you," I said. "I will not put out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. See, my father, the corner of your robe, it's in my hand. For by the fact that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, you may know and see that there is no wrong or treason in my hand. I have not sinned against you, though you hunt my life to take it. May the Lord judge between me and you, and may the Lord avenge me against you. But my hand shall not be against you. As the Proverbs of the ancients says, out of the wicked comes wickedness, but my hand shall not be against you. After who has the king of Israel come out? After whom do you pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? Maybe the Lord. Therefore be judge and give sentence between me and you, and see to it and plead my cause and deliver me from your hand." As soon as David had finished speaking the word to Saul, Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son, David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have not repaid me good, whereas I have repaid you evil, and you have declared this day how you have dealt well with me, and that you did not kill me when the Lord put me into your hands. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go away safe? So may the Lord reward you with the good for what you have done to me this day. And now behold, I know that that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hands. Swear to me, therefore, by the Lord, that you will not cut off my offspring after me, and that you will not destroy my name out of my father's house." And David swore to this to Saul. Then Saul went home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless the reading of your words. And as we talk about your words this day, just give us insight and help us to know that you are Lord and that vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And so we leave those things in your hand. When we get angry and upset with people, we turn it all over to you because you are Lord and you are King. And you sent your Son to save us from our sins. So we trust and obey, for we know there is no other way. In Jesus' name, amen. So just some background information for today's sermon. Is there any similarity with what is going on today in our country? You be the judge after you listen to chapter 24. Actually, chapter 24 and 26 are connected by the theme of revenge, because Saul is out to kill David. After all, David is his son-in-law. Saul was the people's king. Saul was the tallest and most handsome man in Israel. Only a few other people in the Old Testament are described this way. Boaz, a man of great wealth. Jephthah, a valiant warrior. And David, mighty man of valor. Saul was endowed and looked like a mighty leader, but turned out to be a weak leader and coward when it came to facing Goliath. Saul's name, which means ass, is what the people asked for. Remember, the people wanted a king, and so God gave them a king. It was what they asked for, and that's what Saul's name means, ass. You asked for it, you got it. Sort of like our modern day situation. You asked for it, and so this is who you have for president because you asked for it and you voted for it, and that's the way it is. We all know the story of David and Goliath. David, in explaining to Saul what would happen if a bear or lion attacked one of his father's sheep, demonstrated his worthiness to be called a shepherd. Saul's father's name was Kish, from the tribe of Benjamin. Kish was a mighty man of valor. When Kish's donkeys were lost, Saul was sent out to search for them. Saul searched in four places and decided, I better go home. My dad might be worried about me. So he didn't care about the donkeys, which were more valuable than a sheep. But David is presented as one who never gave up taking care of his father's sheep. If you have the 99 and one is lost, the shepherd goes out and finds the lost one. So that's sort of a difference between David and Saul. Now remember when David was anointed king? Remember when Samuel came to Jesse and said, "Let me see all your sons," and he showed him seven sons and big, rugged, strong men looking like John or Jeff that they could take on the world, you know? Like, yeah, one of these guys is going to be king. And then what do? They bring in a kid like Jason. You know, he's taking care of the sheep, you know. He's just a sheep herder, just a little kid. What could he do? And Samuel says, this is the one that needs to be anointed. He's going to be king. And remember when David went up because his father sent him with bread and cheese for the captain because his brothers were in the army? And Goliath was insulting them day by day. "You dirty Israelites, you're worth nothing." And David came up and he heard all this. "Who is this? heathen who blasphemes the name of our Lord and Savior. And people were saying, oh, this is Goliath. He's 9 feet tall. He's a giant. Nobody will take him on. Every day we go in the valley and challenge. They'd be on one side, he'd be on the other, and they'd challenge somebody to take him on. And the men kept talking about, you know, if anybody goes down there and fights him, the king's going to give him half his kingdom of gold and wealth and his daughter. But nobody did. And his brother said, why don't you get back home and take care of the sheep, you sheep herder? That's what you should be. You're just a shepherd. But David said, he went around asking the story again. And then finally, when he found that the story was true, he went to Saul. And he said to Saul, he explained to Saul how what he did. And I've divided this into three sections for the better understanding. First, there's the location, and that's the most important thing in real estate. Location, location, location. Second, there's the persuasion. And third, there's the declaration. So those are the three areas we'll be talking about today. In the first verse of chapter 24 of 1 Samuel, we find that David is in Gedi. It's a desert town about 30 miles southeast of Jerusalem. And there you see it. And there we were, Gail and I, looking over at those caves where David was hiding from Saul. That's what they look like. It's about 30 miles southeast of Jerusalem, on the western shore of the Dead Sea, which we also floated in. The region had hills and mountains full of rocks and cave inhabited by wild goats. A spring of water was there, hence it was named En-Gedi, and En-Gedi stood for Fountain of the Wild Goats. David and his 600 men are hiding in the cave. And Saul comes in to relieve himself, and David and his men are in the deepest part of the cave. Some of these caves could hold up to 2,000 people. Some were small and used for burial places. Saul is coming in and cannot see into the darkness. And David and his men can see Saul because of the light behind him. So when our grandchildren, even when they were like Gabriel's kids, and I would be babysitting them 3 days a week, and they'd have to go to the bathroom. And one day, all of a sudden, Theo said, Grandpa? I go, yeah. He goes, I need privacy. I said, what? He goes, I need privacy, so can you get out of the bathroom while I relieve myself? And that's what Saul had, privacy there. He thought in that empty cave, not knowing what was in the back of a cave. So when you see, look into the darkness, you can't see. But the people in the darkness whose eyes have been adjusted, they can see who's coming in. And his men said, now let's get him. Let's kill him. So that was the location. So Saul has 3,000 men. David has 600. But Saul is in a vulnerable spot. And his men say, let's kill him. Get him. The Lord has delivered him into your hands. Now is the time. But David snuck up and cut a corner off of his robe, because Saul had removed his robe to take care of business. Now in Israel, in Jordan especially, when you're taking care of business, sometimes it's just a hole in the ground when you go in the bathroom. That's it. And if you want some toilet paper, if you didn't bring your own, you got to pay a lady like 10 cents, 20 cents, or a dollar to get, you know, two slips of paper or something or whatever. So they have a place for your feet, and there's the hole, and that's like, oh, okay. But that's how it was in Jordan. But in Israel, you had the bathrooms and so on and so forth, but you had showers in most hotels, and you didn't have bathtubs, you know, and twin beds, so you never got to sleep with your wife, and they were separate beds tucked in tight, you know. So David, he did not do this. His heart was hurt when he heard this, and he felt bad. Now, the second area is persuasion. David snuck up and cut off the corner of Saul's robe. David's men wanted him to kill Saul so he would be the new king. He had been anointed by Samuel to be the next king. So David's already been anointed. Jonathan, by birthright, should be the next king, because he's Saul's son and he's in that line of succession. But David gets anointed to be the next king after Saul. And after all, Saul's name meant what?
Asked.
That's what the people asked for, so that's what the people got. They got Saul. But Saul was very jealous of David. They even had songs. Saul has killed his 1,000, but David has killed his 10,000. And Saul didn't like that. And he would often get very angry at David and call him in to play on the harp, and then get so angry he'd throw a spear at him and try to kill him, because he knew that David had been anointed to be the next king. And he didn't want that. So even though Saul with his 3,000 men who are seeking to hurt David, hunt David down and kill him, David's conscience bothered him, and he said to his men, going to ask you to display that, and we're going to read about persuasion, because persuasion is very important. You know, if you're a salesman and you want to sell something, very important. I don't know about you, but I get a lot of notices, because we own a couple of pieces of property, that we'll sell your property, we'll buy your property and sell it, and so on and so forth. The other day I got an unusual one that says, ignore all those other people that say they'll sell your property, because they probably just took a 3-week course, or they're probably just in it for the money. They're not reliable. They're not backed up. All these bad things about the other people. But we, on the other hand, have been doing this for 14 years, and we're reliable and trustworthy. So under persuasion, verse 4, and the men of David said to him, here is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it shall seem good to you. Then David arose and steadily cut off a corner of Saul's robe, and afterwards David's heart struck him because he had cut off a corner of Saul's robe. He said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed. So David persuaded his men with these words and did not permit them to attack Saul. So David had to be a great persuasion, because there was these 600 men, and here's Saul all by himself with his other 3,000 men on the other side, and there's a spring going down. I don't know who that is. Could be Saul calling me. But he'll have to wait. So David persuaded his men with these words and did not permit them to attack Saul, and Saul rose up and left the cave and went on his way. After, David also rose and went out of the cave and called after Saul. Saul! Because Saul was on the other side now, where the spring was. And called after Saul, my Lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed down with his face to the earth and paid homage. And David said to Saul, why do you listen to the words of men who say, behold, David seeks your harm. Behold, this day your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you today into my hand in the cave, and some told me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not put out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. So David respected Saul, even though he was bad and an evil spirit was coming over him. David said, he's still the anointed one. So even if you don't agree with the president and some of the things and so on and so forth, he's still the person that selected the president. So you give homage to the author and not to the person. So that might be part of the relationship that some of the things that we look at today. See my father, the corner of your robe in my hand, for by that fact I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. You may know and see that there is no wrong or treason in my hands. I have not sinned against you, though you hunt my life to take it. May the Lord judge between me and you. May the Lord avenge me against you. But my hand shall not be against you. I will not raise my hand against you, because you are the anointed one. So David had to persuade his men not to kill Saul. And that took a lot of persuasion of 600 men in a cave, and they could sneak up on Saul because he was taking care of business and they could kill him. But they did not. As the proverb of the ancient says, out of the wicked comes wickedness. Out of the wicked comes wickedness. but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? After whom do you pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? So David said, who are you pursuing? You're hunting me down like I'm a dead dog or a flea. May the Lord therefore be judge and give sentence between me and you, and see to it and plead my cause and deliver me from your hand. So David is saying, I'm going to leave it in the Lord's hand. I'm going to leave it up to the Lord, you know. Don't seek revenge, because that's the Lord's. And, you know, it's like heaping a bowl of hot coals on someone's head when you can smile and say thank you when they've done something wrong or offended you, but you don't take it personally. So that's persuasion. So David was very persuasive. So we know the location being in the cave, Saul at the mercy of David, David persuading his men not to kill Saul, and when Saul is on the other side away, David says to him, I could have killed you, but I didn't. As soon as David had finished speaking these words to Saul, then we deal with declaration. Declaration. You know, when you go to a foreign country and you come back to the U.S., you have to declare what you bought in other countries. If you bought certain things, you have to have it. And you're allowed up to $800 duty-free. But anything over $800, you have to pay a tax on. So a declaration, like our Declaration of Independence says, this is what I promise to do. So when you come into this country, you promise you're going to show them everything you have. And they search your luggage and everything else and check you out and ask where you've been, if you've been on a farm or touching any farm animals and so on and so forth. And they have all these boxes to check. And I'm thinking, I don't think we have to check farm animals, even though there we were holding a lamb, Gail and I, in Jordan. That was in Israel. So I thought, oh, this is wonderful. And in Petra, we did some awful things, awesome things, not awful. The walking was awful. 6 miles, about 6 miles we walked that day. We averaged 3 to 6 miles. The 6 mile was the highest, and 1.4 was the lowest number of miles we walked. So the walking was about twice as much as I expected it would be, because I'd been down on that bike getting my legs ready, and they weren't ready for all the walking. So declaration. As soon as David had finished speaking these words to Saul, Saul said, is this your voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He said to David, you are more righteous than I, for you have repaid me good, where I have repaid you evil. You have declared this day how you have dealt well with me, and that you did not kill me when the Lord put me into your hands. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go safe? So may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now, behold, I know that you shall surely be king. So Saul's saying, I know, David, that you surely will be king. He's had a change of heart, because he could have been killed back in that cave while he was relieving himself. So he says, I know you will be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. But I want a declaration. I want a promise. Swear to me, therefore, by the Lord, that you will not cut off my offspring after me, and that you will not destroy my name out of my father's house. Because the custom in that day was, when the new king took over, the old king's family, Jonathan and the brothers and all the males, they would be killed. So they could not challenge the new king. That was customary. So Saul knew that when David became king, his whole family was at risk of being destroyed. And that's why kings married had more than one wife, so they would make allegiance with other countries and leaders to help protect themselves. So he says, swear to me, therefore, by the Lord, that you will not cut off my offspring after me, and that you will not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David swore this to Saul. And then Saul went home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. Now, that's really not the end of it, because if you would read further over into chapter 26, about verses 12 through 16, Saul is chasing David again. I mean, Saul chased David so much that David went to live with the Philistines. You remember Goliath, the Philistine, that he cut off his head? He couldn't wear Saul's armor. He brought the head back. Saul gave him his daughter, gave him money and riches. Saul is chasing him so much, he goes and he lives with the Philistines. And Saul says, oh, I think that's pretty good. He's going to live with the Philistines because they know what he did to Goliath. So they'll probably kill him. So I don't have to worry about anything anymore. Life is good, is what Saul was thinking. But the Philistine king thought that, okay, David is here, so I'll make an agreement with him, a declaration with him, that if our enemy attacks us, he will help support and fight them. And so they gave him a kingdom. They gave him some land and a kingdom with the Philistines, of all people. But Saul, when he heard about that, he was even more upset, if you would read on. And he started chasing David again to kill him. And over in 26, we find, I think, verses 12 through 16, where it talks about Saul and his men, its head guard, Abner. They were all in camp, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to come over them. And David, with his 600 men, and now he had women and children and wives, and so there were probably over about 1,000 of them living with the Philistines. The man he had cut off the head of, their great leader and fighter, the 9-foot giant. So the Lord caused a great sleep to come over all of Saul's men and over Saul. And David went in by Saul and took Saul's spear and his water jug, which is right by his head. You know how you go to sleep at night and you keep a glass of water on the dresser in case you get thirsty during the night, you have a dry throat. And he took all that and he took it away and he left. And then when he got far enough away from Saul, he said to Saul and called out, Saul, wake up! Abner! You're supposed to be protecting your king. Look what I have. I have the spear that Saul used to throw at me. I have his water jug. Both of these things were by his head. What kind of protector are you? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So David did not kill Saul or any of the men. He just took those things to show the power of God and the power of not seeking vengeance, but to leave it in the hands of the Lord. And that's what chapter 24 is about, a little bit about 26, if you want to really get into it and read it. And if you just put that picture back up, Denise, of in Gedi, where we went, and where I did a reading, and there was water rolling down, and then there were the caves picture there. You see that water rolling up? That's from a spring. They had all these springs. And they used to bring their sheep there, but it became more desert land and they weren't bringing sheep there. So David and his men were hiding out in those caves. And down in the lower left-hand corner, across from the water, you can see a cave there, sort of square. Some were square, some were oval, some were used for burial. Some were used to hide in. Some were used for bathrooms. All kinds of things. So when you think of vengeance and someone that has done you wrong, think of David and how wrong Saul had done him. And after the first attack, Saul called him, David, is that you, my son? And of course, it was his son. He was actually his son-in-law. He married his daughter, but actually Saul had then given his daughter away to somebody else. So Saul was not to be trusted, but David left it all in the hands of the Lord. So we pray that's what you will do today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we've looked into your word, we remember that vengeance is yours. And out of evildoers comes evil. And even though it's a proverb of old, it's very appropriate for today. For we seek you, we want to follow you, we want to obey you. So help us when we get tempted to take revenge on others, but leave the vengeance up to the Lord. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.